Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now is 10 minutes past 10. And first up this morning is Monday morning focus. So this morning our focus is on ways to teach your kids kindness, inshallah. Now, in our program last week, we looked at teaching children kindness. Now, these are just some ways of teaching children kindness, inshallah. That will be followed by Socially Speaking with Mulana Mohammed Venker, who is not here in South Africa at the moment. He's in the UK. So, inshallah, we'll be talking to him a little later. And what we want to talk about today is the month of Rabiul Awal, which is upon us. So, inshallah, that'll take place a little later in the program. So, for now, Monday morning focus, and today we focus on ways to teach your kids kindness. How you can actually teach kids to be kind to others and why you actually should do it. It's very important for us to remember this. Now, comments like, for example, can you believe what she's wearing, or don't you think he's fat or she's fat, or why would anyone want to be friends with her, or he or she's ugly. You know, you hear kids coming up with comments like this, or even worse, you know, worse comments for that matter. And they're not uncommon about among children for that matter. Or, you know, unfortunately, even with adults. We now live in an age where things like photos and posts online can, you know, really garner nearly instant and anonymous comments from total strangers and acquaintances alike. And these reactions can be rude or vicious. It is more important than ever that parents teach children to be nice to others. You know, I cannot stress the importance of that, because children, you know, unfortunately, they have this habit of just saying things the way they see things. And as parents, we have to teach our children to be nice to others and not just say things the way we want them to say, you know, the way they feel they should say. You know, they don't know anything else. They just, I mean, we have to teach them. Why are we parents? We are there to for a purpose, obviously, to teach our children the right things. Now, today, judging others seems to be an activity practiced by too many people. It's so common. It's so part of our lives, of our, when we speak, all we do is we judge other people. It is just all too easy to post comments about other people, whether they're celebrities or ordinary, everyday citizens. We just do it. It's in us. We don't even think twice before we do it. Unkindness isn't new. We've been doing it since ancient times. So this is something that we are doing forever. But today, the ease and the speed and the anonymity with which people can pass judgment on others are unprecedented. Kids who are at the forefront of technology and social networking, actually they are learning from what they see around them. Children also tend not to be able to see the big picture. Because young children usually focus on the now and, you know, they don't think too far ahead, they may not realize the full effects of what behaviors like meanness, exclusion or bullying can have on other kids. And we hear it all the time, you know. Kids are, especially in school these days, it's become such a common thing to hear about bullying. Where children are so mean to each other. And, you know, and we need to teach our children these things from home. You know, we see it when they play around with other kids in the house, and we see it when they mean to their own little siblings at home. So this is your opportunity when our children are doing it at home, is to teach them the right way. Kids are also naturally self-centered, which means that they aren't always able to put themselves in someone else's shoes or make a conscious effort to think about how someone else may or might feel. unfortunately, you know, children, like they say, they don't think what the next person is feeling. So when they are being mean to another child, it doesn't matter to them. You know, they just do it because they're doing it out of spite, or but they don't care how the next person feels. So you need to, as a parent, explain to their child. It may not seem anything important to them, hurting another person's feeling or another child's feelings, but we need to explain to a child what it actually means to that other child that is being, you know, that is being hurt. For that matter, you know, like I always say, children say things the way they see it. They don't think twice. They just say what they want to say. I mean, we hear it all the time at home too. A child sees anything, they'll just say it. They don't think twice. You know, that I need not say it this way. I need to say it. It's, as adults, we know that if we want to say something, we sometimes have to tell somebody something. Even if you're talking to your own kids, even these little kids, when we talk to them, there's a way of talking to them. You can't just tell them what you want to tell them. You are hurting their feelings, and we have to be so careful. So it's important for us to always think. And I always remember the word, my marhum dad's words, where he always used to tell us, you know, before you open your mouth to say something, you need to count till 10 and then decide, you know, if I say this, is anybody going to be feeling hurt about it? So, you know, you need to be so careful. So remember, when you need to teach these little things, and alhamdulillah, you know, it'll stay with you for the rest of your life. I can never forget what my dad has taught me, and I practice it, and I've even taught it to my children. I know sometimes they don't use it, but inshallah, it will stay with them just like it stayed with me for the rest of their lives. Well, that does not mean, however, that kids are naturally unkind. They're not always unkind. In fact, kids are hardwired to have empathy for others and want to help out. Parents and caregivers and teachers and other adults, they can actually take advantage of these natural instincts and also encourage kids to think about other people's feelings before they act, and, you know, also teach them how to practice kindness in their everyday lives. It's very important. And also for us, if we as adults want our children to be, to know about kindness and to know how to be kind to others, then we need to be an example to them at all times. So remember, you know, we need to be kind to others for them to realize that they need to be kind to others too. Now, let's just look at how parents can encourage kindness in their kids, inshallah. Just a few points that hopefully would be of benefit to you. First of all, they say to nurture kindness in kids, we need to try incorporating some practices into your daily routines. Now, these are some of those practices that I'm going to share with you, and I'm sure you can relate to them. And yeah, it's very important for us to know all these things. Firstly, you need to do unto others. I say young children need reminders about trying to put themselves in someone else's shoes. You should ask your child to try to remember to think before saying something about someone, and to take the time to consider how she might feel if someone said it to her. I think this is very important, you know, to just stop for a moment and think, you know, how will I feel if that same person says that to me? How will I feel? So we need to teach our little ones from a very young age that, you know, how will you feel if you're being nasty to that child, if you're being rude to that child, and if that child has to say the same things to you, how do you think you'll feel about it? So it will make them think, inshallah. How would she feel if she found out that someone was making fun of her dress or criticizing her for not doing a maths problem fast enough? All children are not the same, so you need to teach your child these things. That every child is not maybe as good or as bad as you. Just like you have a few little problems, they too have problems. You may be good in this, but they're good in something else. Maybe the child, like for example, where this maths is concerned, the child You may be good at it, but maybe that child just needs a little bit of encouragement and they can be just as good as you. Would she want someone to praise her for trying to put her down for not doing something right? These are some of the questions you should be asking your child. Would she want someone to compliment her on something she does, or would she want someone to make fun of her? They say teaching empathy is a key part of teaching kids kindness. So, you know, you always need to talk to your child and make them realize that if you're being nasty or if you're being funny or if you're laughing at somebody for that matter, would you like it if they did it to you? So always talk to your child about these important little things. You know, teaching empathy, like they say, is a key part of teaching kids kindness. Number two is if you cannot say something nice. Now, there's this old saying about nothing at all, you know, the adage about saying nothing at all, you know, saying nothing at all if you don't have something nice to say about someone is a good one to teach kids. Sometimes if you can't say something good about something, then rather keep quiet, don't say it. Teach your child to get into the habit of saying only positive things. The kind of things that will make someone feel good rather than sad. Teach him to hold his tongue when he has a negative opinion about something. And for example, if his friend, you know, ask him whether he likes a drawing that he did. Unfortunately, you know, little ones can be so rude and so straightforward for that matter. If they don't like something, they would tell you straight on your face, no, I don't like it. Or no, it's ugly. So, but you need to teach your child that, you know, you don't do that. You know, for example, you can practice finding something positive about it. So if maybe you don't like the drawing, then look at something different. Look at something else. For example, say that I like the colors that you use. You made a nice big house or something similar is good. You know, you don't have to say, it's ugly, I don't like it. And children can actually do that. They can tell you that. It's ugly, I don't like it. He should also not mention what he did not like about it. Teach your child this. It's important for us to teach them that. Another example, if a classmate isn't very good at sports, your child can offer encouragement and praise the classmate for trying. So teach your child to encourage someone instead of just putting them down. It's what we as adults should be teaching our children. And then the other one is kind words and smiles. Kind words and smiles can make such, you know, a big difference in anybody's lives. It's also a good idea to get kids into this habit of being friendly and saying something nice to say to someone. A child should know the basics of how to protect herself, for example, from strangers and acquaintance danger, and should also know what to do if she ever does get lost. So, you know, it's important to say kind words and smile, but of course in different situations, they need to also know how to protect themselves. You need to be a good role model and try to be nice to people you interact with throughout the day. So let your child see you tell the checkout person, for instance, at the supermarket or, you know, wherever you are going to do your shopping, have a nice day, you know. And also thank somebody. Thank him for helping you bring the groceries to the car. Say, thank you for helping me. You know, if you're at a restaurant, the waiter is serving you, say thank you to the waiter. Or compliment somebody on maybe hard work that they did. Maybe it's your neighbor or somebody and that's really made up the garden so beautifully. You know, compliment them for that. Be the behavior you want to see in your child. Like I said, you need to be an example to your child. You want a child to do whatever you know, to be good, then you need to be good too. So you need to be an example. It's no use telling a child, do this. And, of course, you do the opposite. That's not the way it works. Okay, then the other one is to say thank you, please, and more. I cannot stress on that. You know, you need to teach your children to say thank you. Please, it's important things that you need to teach your child at all times. Teaching good manners, such as being respectful to others, greeting people properly, and speaking to people in a nice way is also an important part of raising a kind child. And since you live with your children, you'll reap the benefits of having pleasant and nice individuals growing up in your home. Very important to teach your child good manners. Another important thing for us to do is to guard against spoiling. And unfortunately, you know, we like to spoil our children, sometimes unknowingly, but they say kind children are also children who are charitable, who know that mommy and daddy cannot buy everything they want for them, and they must also understand why they should not get everything they want. And also, they are patient, thankful, and have self-control. So if you want to teach your kids kindness, then you make sure that you don't spoil your kids. Don't give them everything they want. You know, you get these children where, you know, whatever they ask for, they get. Whatever it is, mom and dad is always, maybe there's a reason, that maybe as parents we feel we didn't get it and we want to give it to our children. But we need to be very careful. You know, don't spoil them. Then the other one is bullying and cyberbullying. You need to be very aware of the dangers of cyberbullying, both by being vigilant about what your child sees and reads online, as well as by keeping close tabs on what he is writing and what he is sharing. And learn about bullying and what to do to prevent and stop bullying. It's become such a rife thing in our communities these days, and you know, we hear about it all the time, so we need to know about it, and we need to know how to prevent it as well. So if you don't know, read about it, ask about it, find out about it. And also, be very nice to your child, even when you're tired and frustrated, you know, especially when you're tired and frustrated, try to speak in a kind way to your child. Parents, unfortunately, sometimes because they are so tired, they are so busy, they get so irritated with their children. It's not their fault, it's your fault. You are tired, but that doesn't mean you need to be rude and ugly and speak terribly to your child and scream at your child all the time. Discipline with love, support her when she's down, and be kind. Very important. And if you want that to be something that they grow up with and be towards you, then you need to be that towards them now while they are growing up. And remember that kindness is contagious. Kids who may not necessarily be inclined to bullying others or being mean may join in when others are doing it. So if your child can set an example of kindness, it too may spread to her social group. And being kind makes kids, of course, feel good about themselves. So when you encourage kindness in your child, he or she will feel better not only about the world he lives in, but about himself too. And that is what we want. We want children to feel good about themselves. That's the thing about raising good children, who is kind. Not only will kindness lift up your child and others around him, or her for that matter, it will help them to grow to be happy and loving people. And that is, alhamdulillah, what we want, to have happy, loving, easy children, and of course, respectful children, alhamdulillah. Well, once again, I hope these few points that I shared with you will be of benefit to you, inshallah. We're now going to try and get hold of Mulana Mohammed Benker. He is in the UK right now, and we are going to be talking about Rabi al-Awwal, the month of Rabi al-Awwal, inshallah. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zineth. Well, we're trying to get through to Mulana Mohammed Benker. Unfortunately, he is in, we can't right now. We will try again in a little while. He's in the UK at the moment. we wanted to talk about the month of Rabi al-Awwal, but we'll see if we can get hold of him in a few minutes again. If not, I would like to just share with you a little bit of information with regards, or rather some ways of combating envy or jealousy as we know it. So I'll talk a little about it in the meantime. I'll share with you some of this, the information that I have with me. And my engineer will try in a few minutes again to try and get her. If he does come through, alhamdulillah, we'll do the program. If not, then we will continue with this program that I have I prepared a little for our listeners out there. It's all about ways to combat envy or jealousy. Now, as we know, before we go, I just want to share with you a little bit of a scenario, about somebody, and then we'll talk about the ways that we can actually combat jealousy or envy as we know it also. Now, at the age of 38, a sister had achieved unprecedented success in a home-based company, but recently she'd suffered a great shock. And this is what happened. Her 10 years of marriage had come to an end as a result of another of her husband's extramarital affair. And she'd been suppressing her anger and her grief by continuing to work and going ahead with life as usual until 3 days ago, when something really happened. A violent depression had suddenly, taken over her life. It all came crashing down on her. The reality of it really came crashing down on her. Now, she was lying around there, browsing Facebook, which gives her some relief now and again. And suddenly she came across something very different, something very upsetting. In fact, it was a wedding picture, a picture of a beautiful bride, looking into her loving husband's eyes. And you know how it is when you just get married, you are so happy. And there was this caption that said, "The happiest day of my life, alhamdulillah, for such an amazing and caring husband." Now, can you imagine how that must be affecting the lady right now? Suddenly, her hand just goes over her mouth and waves of shock, washes over her. Her mind has become a series of flashbacks from the last 10 years of her life, the day she first met her husband, his first gift, their own wedding day, their intimate moments, maybe he's cooking for her, the day her mom died and how he consoled her, and then this occasional rudeness, coming home late, not receiving phone calls, going for unexpected overseas meetings. She can't express the thoughts racing through her mind as she stares at her friend's happy face. The picture of this bride who happens to be her friend's daughter. Now, she's filled with envy towards this person that has absolutely nothing to do with her life, that has no reason at all, that has given her no reason at all to feel this way. Now, listeners, envy is something that's frowned upon, and we know it's bad, and we also know that we must get rid of it. But just saying it's bad is not enough. Sometimes we just say, oh, I shouldn't be feeling like this, it's not good. Or you see another person that way and you think, oh, that person shouldn't be feeling like that. But can anyone honestly go up to the person and tell them, look, what you are feeling is bad, you must give it up right now or Allah will punish you? It would actually be a very heartless thing to do. Now, the first thing we need to understand about envy or jealousy is that it's a very real, a very strong, very blinding emotion that can affect anybody. Anybody, all of us, I'm sure at some stage or the other, have gone through this, has experienced this kind of feeling. It doesn't affect only those who are weak or who are bad-natured. It affects people when they have a lack of something in their life that's very important to them, something they crave so much that when they see someone else with it, they feel I can't explain to you, but some kind of an extreme pain. And in order to reduce that pain, something inside them wants to damage the source of that pain. And, you know, you start feeling so bad for the person. You start wishing that person bad. Sometimes that person has absolutely nothing to do with you. But just by seeing their happiness, you feel bad about it. And you start wishing them bad. The envied person or the thing, you know, the damage, you want to damage the source of that pain and the envied person or thing. It is, unfortunately, a human weakness, a vulnerable point for the shaitan's attack. And this is what shaitan always waits for. They say the stronger the pain, the stronger the envy, and the harder it is to fight against it. Well, it's not our fault if we are gripped by this powerful evil cloud, but it is in our control to get rid of it before it becomes a tornado, before it goes out of control. Now, of course, there are many reasons why people feel envious of others, and as we all know, envy or jealousy can actually eat you up. It can destroy you from within. And, you know, unfortunately, we are human, and we do experience these feelings, and they can sometimes overpower us. But as Muslims, we need to learn to fight it. It's very important for us to learn to fight these feelings. It comes. I don't say it won't come. Almost each and every one of us out there have these feelings, including me. We all are the same. We always feel, jealous about something. You know, it can be you are sometimes jealous about your sister-in-law or your brother-in-law, or why does that one have something and you don't have it? Why does, there's so many things. You look at somebody's beautiful home and you feel may feel a bit jealous about it because you don't have it. But this is not what we should be doing. We as Muslims should learn to fight that feelings of envy within us. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we're going to talk about a few things that can actually help us try and fight envy or jealousy. Because this is what we need to do. We need to know how to fight it. When those feelings do come to us, we need to know how to fight it and get rid of it from our systems. So stay with us. We're going to try and see if we can get hold of Mulana Venka. If not, then we will continue with this program. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, we unfortunately just cannot get through to Mulana. It's going on to voicemail. So let's continue with our program. Well, this unfortunately was just not in our today, but inshallah, we will speak to him again and on another occasion. Okay, so now we were talking about how we can teach ourselves to fight these terrible feelings of envy and jealousy. And as Muslims, as I said, it's something that we need to know how to do. So let me share with you a few important things that can be done, inshallah, and hopefully we can help ourselves in that way. First of all, when these feelings of envy and or jealousy, as we know them, come upon us, we need to know that it's there and we need to do something about it. So first and foremost, we must make dua. Dua is so important. Immediately make dua. The moment you feel those feelings coming towards you, just pray to Allah to protect you from shaitan's attack. Now, and I think this is the most important thing for us to remember, that this is shaitan waiting to take over and to start, you know, messing with our lives. So, know it's shaitan that is busy with us, and immediately, start asking Allah to protect you from shaitan's attack. Remove the envy, the jealousy from your heart, and to bless the other person in what he has given them, and to give you more and better. So ask Allah's help, ask Allah's guidance, I think what the most important thing is, the minute you feel those bad feelings about the person, then make dua for that person. Immediately make dua for that person, good dua for that person, and then ask Allah to give you better. Inshallah, Allah will accept. And the minute you do that, you yourself will feel much better about it. And I always, they always say, you know, if you have somebody that you're always envious about, then be extra good to that person. You know, go out of your way to buy that person gifts, you know, and in that way, your envy becomes less and less, inshallah. But the most important thing is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep shaitan away from you. Then, transfer the focus towards your own self. Okay, so this is what it means. You need to hunt for the source of the envy. Look for the reason you are envious about the person. Ask yourself questions and give yourself honest answers. You know, ask yourself, am I discontent with what Allah has given me? Am I not happy with what Allah has given me? Do I want more? Or, you know, am I angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for preferring the other person with the thing that I... Remember, you need to remember that whatever the other person has, Allah has given them. So you need to ask, am I angry? Are we now actually angry with Allah that He has given that person something? Are we angry with Allah for that? Obviously we don't. We can't be angry with Allah for that. Or am I angry with the... you know, the person who caused me the pain. Now, once you find out where the problem lies, then make more specific du'as and read on your, you know, on your specific problem. If possible, you know, talk to a counselor, Muslim counselor would be better, about it to get, you know, a better insight into your heart. So don't let this anger and this feelings of jealousy grow in you. Talk about it. Go. If you know what the reason is, you know, talk to yourself about it first. Once you know what you think the problem is and you still can't get rid of these feelings, then go and talk to a counselor. Inshallah, they would be able to help you even further. You can also use self-hypnotherapy. The envy is not a part of you. Imagine it to be an entity in itself. Imagine it to be an enemy, you know, like a, I hate to use this word, but a poisonous green scaly snake that's wrapped itself around your heart and it's trying to squeeze it to suffocate. Now you'll be able to find it more easy and satisfactory to kill it as soon as possible. So think of it as a terrible serpent around your heart and it's squeezing your heart. And you want to kill it. So kill it. You need to kill it. You have to push it out of your heart. You have to remove it completely. And the only way is to kill it. So kill those feelings of, you know, jealousy and hatred within you. Then remove the negative filter from your eyes. Yes, the envious feeling is a proof that such a filter does exist. That it filters out all the positive things that happen in your life. And it leaves a grimy, you know, foul-smelling residue or negative thoughts. Force your mind to acknowledge the things Allah has given you and say Alhamdulillah for each of them. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, if you are grateful, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you. But if you deny, indeed my punishment is severe. That is in chapter 14, verse 7 of the Holy Quran. So, you know, you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather you must be grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. When you start feeling these feelings of jealousy and hatred coming to you, and, you know, you need to start thinking and just go back and think, what has Allah given me? And be grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And make shukr for what He has given you. Also remind yourself that not having something can also be a blessing. Sometimes, you know, you are saved from so much if you can just understand why you don't have what the next person have. So maybe the thing is actually not good for you. You may think, no, I need it, I want it, it's good for me, but Allah knows better. So maybe the thing isn't good for you, and if you did have it, it would make you unhappy. Perhaps you hate a thing that it is good for you, and perhaps you love a thing that it is bad, that it is bad for you, and Allah knows while you know not. That is in the Holy Quran in chapter 2, verse 216. Allah Ta'ala tells us, perhaps you hate a thing, but it is good for you. And perhaps you love a thing, but it is bad for you. So Allah knows better why, you know, sometimes you don't have what the next person have. There's always a reason behind it. So, and we need to be so grateful for what we have. You know, sometimes we unfortunately always want what the next person has, but like I said, it's not always good enough. It's not good for you. The pain you're suffering is actually cleansing you of sins and increasing your reward if you remain patient. So sometimes, no matter how much you want something and you don't have it, but remember, there's maybe something good that'll come out of it. How wonderful is the case of a believer? There is good for him in everything, and this applies only to a believer. If you experience prosperity, he expresses gratitude to Allah, and that is good for him. And if adversity befalls him, he endures it patiently, and that is better for him. And finally, remember that our main job in this world is not enjoying its pleasures. It's to earn eternal enjoyment and pleasures for the next world. And remember, every tiniest thing that you desire will be yours, inshallah, in the year after. So if you can't get it in this world, don't worry about it. Don't make it, such a big issue. There's always something better. Remember that, you know, I think this is the most important point I would like to share with the host. And I want you to remember this, that if for some reason you cannot get something that you really want, then you must know it comes from Allah. And there's a reason behind that. Maybe, there's something good will come out of it. And there's a reason that if you do get that, then something bad may come out of it. So rather, if you don't get it, that's fine. It wasn't meant for me. That's it. So, and I always try to remember that Allah will never put a burden on you that you cannot handle. Inshallah. I think if that is your attitude in life, your life will become so much easier and you'll be able to live a happier and a healthier life. So Allah make it easy for all, inshallah. And like we always say, Allah knows best, inshallah. Well, I'm sorry we couldn't get hold of Mulana Venkat to do this program with us today, but maybe inshallah we will get it. There must have been some problem, we just couldn't get hold of it. But Allah knows best, as we always say. But Jazakallah khair for listening. And I hope whatever I shared with you today, I myself would definitely learn from there. And I hope our listeners out there will benefit from it as well, inshallah. To my engineer, Jazakallah khair. And to everybody out there, Jazakallah khair for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.